Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Little Otis Redding bringing us back, sitting on the dock of the bay, 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with me. Maybe the only person listening who will remember that song, Richie Galen, is our good friend and our guest. He's the Republican political strategist, and some say hack, but you know, I consider him to be a strategist. That sounds better, doesn't it, Rich?
It does. But I for years I thought Otis Redding was really Otis Knight from Otis. Otis Knight in the day, Otis Day in the night.
No, that's Gladys. That's Gladys Knight in the not Otis.
Animal House.
And Mullings.com is his website. SmallBusinessAdvocate.com is mine. You need to subscribe to Rich's thrice weekly cyber column that you'll like. If you're a Republican, you want to know what you want to know what he says, and if you're a Democrat, you want to know what he's up to. And, of course, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you can find my newsletter there. And I hope you'll subscribe to that, and I'll see all the other things that are there. Rich, the Gang of Six, which was a group of six senators who threw themselves together to try to come up with some kind of a budget balancing effort, some way of, I don't know what kind of a silver bullet they thought they were going to come up with, some kind of special sauce. But you got to take your hats off to them. But we got one defector. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, Senator Coburn decided that it wasn't going anywhere, and withdrew from the Gang of Six. And they've been very careful about this. It was three Republicans, three Democrats in the Senate in this Gang of Six. Not only that, but the letters of there were 64 senators who expressed their support, and they got 32 Republicans and 32 Democrats, so they've been very careful to make sure that this was absolutely balanced in terms of division. And Coburn decided yesterday, who's a pretty conservative guy, as you know, but he decided yesterday that there was just no path to a solution. Republicans absolutely refused to consider tax increases when the economy's bumping along at barely above water, housing prices collapsed again, or housing starts collapsed again. And Democrats won't proceed without Republicans acceding to some level of tax cut on somebody. They don't care who it is, as long as they can
The Democrats want increases, tax increases, and the Republicans want spending cuts. Especially in entitlements, right?
Well, and everybody understands that. I mean, everybody gets the joke that you can scream and jump up and down about earmarks all you want. That doesn't move the needle one angstrom. I mean, the totality of earmarks is minuscule compared to what we spend in Medicaid.
Is Coburn right? Is this a fool's errand?
No, I mean, I don't know whether he's right or not in withdrawing. I think he's probably correct that at some point, you're going to have to get people who aren't up for re-election to say, okay, this is what's going to happen, or maybe the opposite. Mm-hmm. Maybe what you have to do is, you know, kind of have have profiles and courage and have people who actually are up for re-election and say, okay, I understand that this may cost me my seat, but this is the right way to go, and I'm going to do it.
Isn't this going to take a presidential candidate who runs on what I'm calling the American gut check platform, which is where Americans have to say, okay, guys, we don't want to become Greece, but that's where we're headed. All of us have to have a gut check and say, okay, what are we willing to do without from the government so that we can turn this sinking ship around? Isn't this going to be, where we not only talk about shared sacrifice, but also shared opportunity? I mean, America is the land of opportunity. We still are. And, I mean, isn't it going to take a grander vision that we're seeing from anybody right now?
That would be the most positive way of looking at it. My fear is that it will take the Chinese yanking on our leash very hard to make us wake up and say, holy cow, we are just not in control.
Meaning maybe a near-failed auction of
treasury
bills.
Refusing to buy debt, yeah.
Yeah.
Buying debt that's delineated in, you know, euros or something.
Right. Yeah.
I think it will take some kind of shock to the system like that for everybody to get everybody's attention. The best example of that, Jim, real quick, is the other day, Jim Nussel, the former budget director, former congressman from Iowa, was on CNBC, their morning show, and he was decrying the fact that Geithner, the Secretary of Treasury, had said, well, they can juggle the books and keep everything going until August before we actually hit the real hard debt limit. And he thought that was really a bad thing to say because he said, you know, that took the pressure off these guys. They need to have a deadline looming. They're like college sophomores, you know, doing a term paper. If you keep saying, okay, the term paper will be next week, then you say, oh, good, I can go out drinking again this week.
Right.
It's not until the term paper is due tomorrow morning that you settle down and write the darn thing.
Well, absolutely. But speaking of that, I've got about a minute. What do you think is going to happen? You think they'll solve this? They'll increase the debt limit, or do you think there'll be a showdown?
I think it'll be both. I think there'll be a showdown, and there'll be some kind of compromise where the debt limit goes up, more cuts are promised in the near term, and that everybody can proclaim victory before they go home for the dreaded August recess. Because that's when they have to spend a month with it.
By the way, Rich, on that China caution that you were telling us about, I actually think that's a lot more than 50-50 chance in the next year or two.
Well, especially if their economy begins
that's what I'm talking about.
That's right. They may not have the cash to do it.
I think when it happens, it won't happen because they're meanies. It'll happen because they got no choice.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's what we're looking at.
Right.
And that could be sooner than later, folks. So pay attention to that and listen to your leaders, or listen to people who sound like leaders, I should say, not the ones that pose like leaders. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.